today we're going to continue in our 3-in-1 series that we started several weeks ago. This series has become the umbrella of really three different series under the name of 3-in-1. We've been talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today we're realizing this, that all three have a function separate in the believer's life, but yet all three work together in harmony to make a more powerful relationship that we have. Today, we must realize that I can't believe in God and not believe in the Holy Spirit. I can't believe in Jesus and not believe in the Holy Spirit. They're either all three real or all three not relevant for my life. And we see in Scripture, as we study throughout, that not only did God send His Son, Jesus, but He also sent His Holy Spirit to empower us, to change us. And we see all three evidenced several times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so what we have been doing through this series is looking at the individual roles of the Son, realizing that, man, Jesus really gets me. He really understands me. Not only did He give His life for me, but He also walked in my shoes. And now He can be my advocate before the Father, saying, Father, have mercy on him. I understand what he's going through. Father, I understand what it is to get a bid on a job and to lose a bid on a job. Father, I understand as a carpenter what it is to work hard. And I understand what it is to have a messed up family. Remember, his family thought he was crazy? He's like, I don't know who those people are. You guys are my family. Those people outside, I don't know who those crazy people are. And so he had some messed up family issues, but he understands it because we many times have messed up family issues. And so he understands us. He's walked in our shoes. He sent his Holy Spirit to be directing us, empowering us to communicate, to reveal all things from the Father to us. Now, we're spending the last part of this series on the Father. We spent several messages. Today I want to talk to you about the Father is Abba. The Father is Abba. This is Abba, pronounced Abba, not Abba. I see some of you 70s people back here going, Dancing Queen. So you're thinking it already. You're ready to break out into song and dance. We're not talking about Abba. We're talking about Abba. He's Abba, Father. And what the word Abba simply means in the original meaning of Greek, it simply means this. It's our heavenly Father. It means our intimate Father. It was the most intimate word we see describing God found in Scripture. It was a very intimate relationship with the Father. Today, this message is probably the most simplest out of all the messages I preached on the Trinity. It's probably the most simplest to understand in theology, but probably the most complex in application. It's probably the most complex in application because we are limited to our understanding of our Heavenly Father. And what I mean by limited is many times we use the limits we have, the experience we have with our own earthly father, either negative or positive, doesn't make a difference. We've had some kind of viewpoint of our earthly father, and that can many times keep the limits from us understanding our relationship with our heavenly father. Every generation has anthems that have been written about troubled relationships with dad. I mean, every generation has anthems upon anthems, song upon song that are written about people who are looking for relationship with dad, people who are looking for affirmation and acceptance from dad, and people who are hurting from a lack of that. We find these songs everywhere in every generation. I was moved this a short time ago on the last season of American Idol when Kelly Clarkson, many of you know Kelly Clarkson, won the first initial American Idol. She won it, and then from there she went on to be a 3-time Grammy Award winner, has sold over 36 million records, has had numerous awards and fame, and of course made lots of money along the way. And she finally got married, and she was pregnant and 8 months pregnant when she was a guest judge on the show. On that show, they asked her to sing, and she was debuting a song she had just wrote. And it was a very troubling song. It was a song about really, you know, here's a lady who had everything. She had all the money and success, and all her peers looked to her as someone to look up to for someone who had success and had all this fame and fortune. And now she had just gotten married, and now she's pregnant, having her first child. But yet, you know what really bothered her the most was the lack of affirmation from her dad. And she was struggling with this, and she writes in a song called Piece by Piece. And she, in the song, the first line of the song says, all I remember is your back, because you're always walking away from us. And in the song, she goes on to talk about how I flew 1,500 miles to see you, and you never even showed up. You rejected me, and you can see the pain. I'm going to show you about a minute of this song. A lot of pain going on, and not only in her life, but you can see the judges and a lot of people really relating to this, because at the heart of many of us here is we have issues with our father. It really can become a painful thing. I want you to kind of glimpse of what she was feeling that night.
Peace by peace. Well, peace by peace, I fell far from the tree. I will never leave her like you left me. And she will never have to wonder her worth, because unlike you, I'm gonna put her first. And you know, he'll never walk away. He'll never walk away. He'll never break her heart. He'll take care of things. He'll love her. And piece by piece, he'll restore my faith. Sorry. That a man can be proud and a father should, and a father should be great.
See, at the heart of all of us, we want our father's affirmation. We all long for our father's affirmation. We can't escape that. And we all long for it. And I think what she was experiencing there is what so many others have shown, thousands upon millions of people have shown in their life, is that, man, without the affirmation of the father, it just feels so empty. And even though she had gained success on the outside of everything she thought she could want, she was still moved, still emotionally a wreck, because she never had the affirmation of her father. You know, if you watch interviews with some of the most wealthiest people and businessmen and women in the world, they'll tell you that they ask them, what's driving you? What is it that's really, really driving you? And they'll say, many times you'll hear guys say, well, I'm just trying to prove my dad wrong. Or I'm trying to make my dad happy. And they'll talk about their dad and they'll ask them, well, my dad died 20 years ago. My dad died 10 years ago. He died 15 years ago. But yet they're still driven. I want my dad to be happy, proud of me. I want to prove my dad wrong. They're still driven. What's driving them to make more billions when they've already made billions? It's they're looking for affirmation from their father. It causes them to overachieve. It causes them to go and drive themselves looking for that affirmation from the dad, because in our heart, there's a longing for affirmation from our father. We all want it. There was a show called The Locator. It was a great show that used to air for several years, and it was about a guy who helped people find lost loved ones. And so many times people who had been adopted out would hire him, and he would go back and find their original mom or find their original dad, or people who never knew their dad, they would find out and track him down, and if they could, and bring him back for reunions. And in this one show in particular, I remember watching this, and it really moved me, because he had an NFL defensive end on there by the name of Paul Spicer, and he spent 11 years in the NFL. He retired in 2012 and went on to be, and still is, an assistant coach in the NFL. And this guy had made millions of dollars. He's bought, you know, some of the nicest houses. He had the nicest cars. He had the nicest motorcycles. He had a nice wife. I mean, everything that on the outside we think would bring happiness that he had. And he sat there, and the guy, the locator, said, what are you looking for? And the guy sat there and cried like a baby. This big NFL lineman cried like a baby. He says, you know, I grew up. I became an All-American high school player. I became an All-American in college, and I went on to play in pros. He goes, and what drove me was this. I thought if I was good enough, my dad would come and watch me play. My dad would find me and come and watch me play. And as he cried there, he said, I never met my dad. Didn't know who he was. And I just want to know, is he proud of me? I just want to know, was he proud of me? Was I good enough? I've got to have some answers. And this guy was an emotional wreck as he cried. Why? Because at the heart of who we are, we all long. That's it. None of us can escape it. We all long from the affirmation of our father. It hits the core of who we are. And today, we understand this. Look at this statement. We naturally look to our mothers for nurturing, but we look to our fathers for affirmation. It's who we are. It's just in our DNA. We naturally look to our moms for nurturing, but we look to our fathers for affirmation. Someone did a study a while back on some of the top leaders in the atheist movement, and they come to find out there was a common thread in almost every one of these leaders. And that common thread was that almost every one of these leaders either did not have a father present in their life growing up, or they had a very troubled relationship with their dad. And think about it. How true is it? How can you really experience the love of a heavenly father when you never experience the love of an earthly father? Sometimes it really becomes a roadblock in our life. And today, even if you had a great dad, and some of you had some tremendous dads, you had some great fathers, you didn't have a dad of abuse, or a dad who walked out on you, or a dad who never showed up, or a dad you never knew. Some of you has a dad who were present, but even our good dads are limited on just how good they can be. They're limited on how much mercy they can show. They're limited on how much love they really have. We're limited. But this is the great news. See, our Father is not limited on anything. He is not limited or confined to anything. And so therefore, it's hard sometimes even for us who had a great relationship to really understand just how great our God is, just how great our Heavenly Father is, and how much He really, really loves me and affirms me. See, we need to stop this. We need to stop limiting our Heavenly Father to our experience with our earthly father. We've got to stop it, okay? Because it keeps you from walking in the relationship with the Father that He designed you and I to walk in. Because if you can ever get this into your heart, if you can ever get into, man, He not just is a heavenly Father, but He is Abba Father, Daddy God, I mean personal, intimate Father, it will change your relationship with Him. What's it do? It heals my heart. It cancels out the hurt in my heart and allows me to heal and to walk in a new season of my life. Answer this question for me today. My Father never gave me blank. Just fill it in there today. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's approval. Maybe it's His time. Maybe it's affirmation. Whatever it is today. What is that? My Father never gave me this. And now I want you to ask yourself, am I holding this against my Heavenly Father? Am I holding this against my Heavenly Father? Psalms 27:10. Look what it says. It says, even though, man, my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. This is an amazing scripture because it says, even if my mom leaves me, even if my father leaves me, it says, God will receive me. Receive me. So today, if I'm going to bring Corey a present today and give to him a package, what's he going to do? He's going to reach out and what? Receive it, right? Reach out and receive it. You know, this is a picture of the Father of us. He's waiting to receive us, arms wide open. He's waiting to receive us. And I was thinking, you know, as I was walking in today and driving in, I was thinking about delivering the package and how we receive that package. And that oftentimes that there's a signature required. It's a signature required to receiving that package that whoever receives has got to sign for it. And I thought, you know, that's what happened, that Jesus opened up His arms and He signed for it with the blood that He shed upon the cross and says, I'm going to receive this package. I'm going to receive this child. It belongs to me. And He signed His name in blood and says, this one is mine. And see, you got to get a view of the Father that He has got His arms open and He is waiting full of compassion, full of love, full of mercy, waiting to show you that He is here to affirm you, that He loves you, and He is not limited by anything that's happened in your past. Give God a hand clap for that. Amen? You like that, man? He receives us. He embraces us. Romans 8:15 says it like this. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. So now when we receive the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, it says that you live in fear, so that you live in fear. We don't receive this Spirit from God so that we can go back and be slaves. So we can go back and live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your what? Adoption to sonship. The Holy Spirit brings me from adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy God. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. This is an amazing thing because it's a spirit brings to us the spirit of adoption. Now, this is pretty cool because I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit takes and gives us the spirit of adoption according to what the scripture says. From adoption to sonship. And realizing during the time period that this scripture was written that adoption laws were a little bit different. If you were living in that time when this was written, that if your father died, no matter what your age was, you inherited all the debts of your father. And so if your dad died and he owed money, even if you were 3 or 4 or 5, that at some point they expected you to grow up and pay the debts of your father. It was inherited to you. But that many times when a child was adopted, that when he was adopted, it says that those debts were canceled out and that child was free to walk in the blessing from the Father. Now, come on, you got to get this into your heart today and realize what's happening here. He says that you and I have been given the spirit of adoption, meaning this, that the debts of our Father are canceled out and now we are free to walk in sonship with the Father. This is amazing. That means the debt that I carry from the hurt of my father, the debts of not having a relationship with my father, the debts I have from abandonment or not receiving the affirmation maybe that I had, those things are canceled out, and now I can walk in the affirmation from the Father. It says, you know what? This is my son. This is my daughter. I am well pleased with them. I love them. I've given my life for them. I've given them mercy and grace and my goodness. He cancels out the debt and he allows the spirit of adoption to flow in our life. Some people have been carrying around debts. Debts of disappointment, debts of abandonment, debts of affirmation. It's weighed you down for years. It stopped you from fully embracing your relationship with the Father. It stopped you from fully walking in the blessing of the Father. Because you're allowing what happened with your earthly father weigh you down. But what I want you to hear today, that this is a new day for you. Because you're learning today that you have been given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will pour out to you, will testify to you, will confirm in you that God, what, has given you the spirit of adoption, that thing is canceled in your life. And now you can walk as a son and daughter in the Lord. Pastor, my heart still hurts. Yes, it hurts. And I know this is a really heavy subject for many people in this room. I know that many people, this is emotional. It's hard. I know. But we have to go there today. It's necessary. We have to go there to get better. We have to go there and realize, you know what? I gotta go past this hurt in my life. Let it stop limiting me from the way I see God. And say, God, you come to heal me. You come to give me a spirit of adoption, canceling out that debt, that I can walk as a son, as a daughter of the King. Today, the Holy Spirit is wanting me to be free. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants you to receive. Look at this. The Holy Spirit wants you to receive this spirit of adoption. This is what the Holy Spirit wants you to receive. It says the Holy Spirit testifies, confirms, reassures us. It's the Holy Spirit that says, hey, you're a child of God. That's why this whole series on the Holy Spirit was so good, because when I'm walking in the Holy Spirit and I'm letting Him lead and guide my life, then what's He going to do? He's going to reassure me. God loves you. He reassures me. You belong to the Lord. He reassures me I'm more than what my past is about. He reassures me I'm more than a mistake. He reassures me I'm more than what someone else told me. I'm more than what a dad may have said about me or somebody else did to me. I'm more than that. The Holy Spirit reassures me that I've been adopted to the family of God. That God affirms me and believes me and comes behind me and blesses me. It's a new thing of blessing in our life. We can walk in. It's the affirmation from the Father. We receive this affirmation. You're free to walk in the blessing of your new Heavenly Father. See, you can now walk in affirmation of your Heavenly Father. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. You can walk in that blessing. Look what it says here. We just read it. It says that He bears witness, man. The Spirit bears witness. Now, 1 John 3:1, look what it says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. Isn't that pretty cool? It says God lavishes, I mean, pours onto us, overflows to us his love. And what's he do? He goes, so that we can be called the children of God. Oh, just in case you don't believe it, that's what you are. Say, I know you are, but what am I? Turn to your neighbor and say this. I know you are, but what am I? You're a child of God. That's what you are. And realize that today. This is what he's saying. You've been lavished with the love upon the Father. The Father lavishes upon us. He gives it in abundance, pours it out to us. His love. That we are called his children. And yes, we are. He comes back. You know, I'm not really, not me. Yes, you are. That's what he's saying. We read that. Oh, God, you love everybody else, but you don't really love me as much as you love that person. Oh, yes, I do. Well, God, you don't really love me as much as you love them. Yes, I do. See, that's what the enemy does. He gets us to doubt ourselves. He comes in our mind against us and gets us to have these negative thoughts saying, God doesn't love me like he loves somebody else. And that's just a lie. It's a lie. And if it can get you thinking about that, if it can get you limited in how you see God, you can understand that. But when you take the limits off God, you realize, you know what, God? You don't see me the way everybody else sees me. God, you view me through different glasses. God, you see me differently. You have signed your name in blood and purchased and received me that I now walk in a spirit of adoption as a son and child of God. That is who I am. I'm a child of God. It doesn't change. God's Spirit is for us. See, in the Old Testament, we see where the whole Old Testament was really about us learning just how sovereign God was. In the Old Testament, we learn about how righteous he was, about his glory, about how sovereign God was. We learned about his judgment. There was a lot of judgment that went out in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we experience really the whole New Testament is God wants us to know just how much he really loves us, how much he's really crazy about us. He wants us to understand his endless mercy. He wants us to understand his endless grace. He wants us to understand his goodness is never fails us, and it's new every day. It says that his mercy is new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. That means every day I can get up and walk in the mercy of the Father. Why? Because God is just that good. He is just that good. His mercy is overwhelming in our life. And we've just got to understand this is who we are, been brought in as adopted of the Father. Now, your earthly fathers, they have a hard time with this. Your earthly fathers, they have a hard time with this, you know. You don't understand this. If your child is adopted, things go differently. So let me put it this way. Today, if you have a child that you had naturally and you put them in your will, but let's say later on in life that child doesn't take care of you when you're old and you get mad. If you want to, you can leave all the money to the dog and write them out of your will if you want to. You have that freedom. I'm going to leave my money to my dog. Be more faithful than me. My child has. And so you can get mad if you want to and you can write them out of your will. You have that right to write your children out of your will if you want to. Unless that child has been adopted. And if that child has been adopted and put into the will, you can no longer take that child out of that will. Are you following me here today? We have been given the spirit of adoption. That we can't be taken out of the love of the Father. We can't be taken out of the will of God. He has got us right there. He wants you to understand that. Walking in the spirit of adoption is not a bad thing. It's the highest level of commitment he can have to us as his children. The bond is there. And he affirms us and he speaks over us. We understand this. See, earthly fathers, we have a hard time because your earthly father remembers when you burned a hole in the carpet when you were 7. He may forgive you, but he'll always remember. Your earthly father remembers when you wrecked his car when you were 16. Yeah, he remembers that one. Your earthly father remembers some of the stupid things we do growing up. Even to the point he's forgiven you, but come Thanksgiving, everybody's going to hear about it again, right? Those stories are going to come up. They're all going to laugh at you. I mean, just around the corner, you know what I'm talking about. He's going to tell your kids about it. And you're like, Dad, please, come on. He's forgiven you, but He doesn't forget it. He doesn't forget it. Why? Because as our human mind today, we're not capable of forgetting. But see, this is the great news about Abba Dad, about Abba Father. The great news is this, is that he chooses, the Bible says he chooses to forget. We see, we can't comprehend that because our earthly dads, they can't forget. They may forgive, but they can't forget. But it says our Father chooses to wipe away those memories. He chooses to delete those memories. He chooses to erase those memories. He says he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. I mean, how is that even possible? We can't even fathom that he could forget some of the stupid stuff we've all done. How could he forget it? I can't understand it. You can't understand it. But he is just that good. He's able to delete it, never to be brought up again. So when he looks at us, he doesn't choose to say, oh, yeah, I love you, but remember the time? No. He looks at us and says, that's been deleted. So he looks at us, he doesn't see. He doesn't see some of the stupid stuff we've done. He doesn't see. He has an unconditional love for us. He has an affirmation for us that goes beyond our comprehension. He's not holding your past over your head. He's not limiting you to something that's happened in the family past. I love this story today. Probably my favorite story that Jesus ever told in the Bible. Scripture teaches us that Jesus would often teach us principles about God, the Heavenly Father, through stories. They would often talk to us what they called parables, and he would paint these word pictures, these stories, so we could visualize really who the Father was and the kingdom of God was really about. And one of my favorite stories is a story of the prodigal son. It says that this young man who came to his dad said, "Dad, you're not quite dying as fast as you need to. You've been eating all this organic meat around here. You've been eating out. You've been working out. You're getting younger. You're not getting older. So, Dad, go ahead and give me my inheritance now. I know I'm supposed to wait until you die, but that's going to be a while. So can I go ahead and get what I got? It's my money, and I want it now. Can I have it? Come on. I mean, you think where that commercial got its line from? You're learning right now. He said, Dad, it's mine, and I want it now. It's my money, and I want it now. And so he asked his dad, and his dad gave it to him. Even though his dad knew he was not mature enough to handle it, even though his dad knew that this was a failure waiting to happen, it says his dad gave him his inheritance. It says the man take his inheritance, and he went off to Vegas. I'm making a story about cost. He went off and lived a party lifestyle. He gambled it away. He was the life of the party. He was buying drinks for everybody. Everybody wanted to be his friend. He spent it on women, on guys. He spent it on all these people, all these friends. He has an entourage of people who love hanging out with him. He was the life of the party. And then his money ran out, and so did his friends. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Anybody ever experienced that before, right? Everybody abandons, oh, you're out of money, see you later, alligator. Bye. He's gone. Finds himself alone, broke, disgusted. And it says a famine hit the land. And while they're in a famine, he can't find work. He can't get food. Finally, it says he went up to one of the pig farmers and said, "Hey, I got a plan for you. I'll feed your pigs if you'll just let me go out there and eat with them while they eat." So he would go out there and feed the pigs. Now remember, this is in the middle of a famine. And you know, pigs don't eat that great anyway. But think about what they're eating in the middle of a famine. I mean, they're eating the most disgusting, vile things you can give them, but we're giving it to them. And he's out there in the mud, wallowing around with all these pigs, eating what the pigs are eating. And all of a sudden, it says he came to his senses. Isn't it amazing how rock bottom does that, right? Isn't it amazing how tough love does that sometimes? He came to his senses. He's like, you know what? Even my dad's hired servants are eating so much better than this. My dad, he loves me. And I know I've sinned against him. I know I've disgraced the family. And I know I could never go back and just get back in to be a son. But if I go back and say, Dad, can I at least work here as a hired servant? I can at least have a place to stay. And I can at least have some food to eat. So he says he got up and he arose and he walked back to his father's house. And can you imagine him on the way home? Dad, all right, Dad, I disgraced the family. I'm sorry I did this. And Dad, forgive me for being a bonehead. God, Dad, forgive me for asking. You knew it's going to happen, and I did it. He's rehearsing this apology over and over. All the way home, he's rehearsing this apology. And I love, we see what happens. As he gets home, look what Luke says here. Luke 15, verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him. What's that mean? That means he had to be looking for him. His father was still looking out. Where is my son? Is my son coming home today? Keep the lookout going. Because when he was a long ways off, his father spotted him and saw him returning. And it says his father was filled with compassion. His father was filled with compassion for him. He ran to him, his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. Time out. The son never even asked his father to forgive him. His son never even come back and said, Dad, you were right. I was wrong. His son could never have time to even get those words out of his mouth. All he had time to do was just start heading back home. And the father came with arms wide open, wrapped his arms around him, hugged him full of compassion, kissed him, and said, my son's returned home. Bring out the best robe. Bring out my ring. Put it back on his finger. Bring out the best sandals. Take and kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party tonight. My son's returned home. This is the compassion the father has for you and I. This is the way he looks at you and I. Sometimes we wait around, but God, I got to change. I got to change. I got to do this. I got to change this. I got to change that. Change this. And I'm going to come. I'm going to give God my life. I'm going to surrender my life. I just got to change some things first. But no, you can't. You know why? Because you can never change on your own. None of us can ever become good enough on our own. See, what we got to do is we just come back and say, no, I got to return to Abba Father. I got to return to the Father. And as I return back to him, he wraps his arm of compassion around me. He loves me. I guarantee you that you'll never have anybody in this church who'll ask you to leave because you're living in a sinful lifestyle. You've made mistakes in your life. Because this church, no perfect people are allowed, including me and including you. And if you're looking for a perfect church, I tell you all the time, don't go in because you'll ruin it, okay? What I'm saying is this, is that God, this is the way God's viewpoint is, and this is the way the church is, that we got to love people where they're at. We got to have compassion for them. Let them step, call them up to the greatness God has for them. Love our arms of compassion around them. He says, he ran to his son. As our musicians are coming today, can I ask you this question? Where in the scripture have you ever seen God run? Have you ever seen God even be in a hurry? I mean, ask Moses. Moses, was God ever in a hurry of fulfilling the promise? I mean, they spent 40 years out there walking in circles in that desert. Ask Noah, was God ever in a hurry about you building that ark? Ask Joseph, was God ever in a hurry of getting you out of that pit, getting you out of that prison? He took his time, didn't he? I mean, we see in scripture, God really doesn't get in a hurry about a lot of things. What moves God to get in a hurry? You and I. This moves God. It says the picture of the Father. He wants to see that God ran to him, wrapped his arms around him, loved him, full of compassion. Today, as you bow your heads, I want to ask you a question. Say, Pastor, man, you're talking about the love of God. Before I can ask any other question this morning, I simply want to ask you this, the most important question you've ever been asked in your life, is have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever confessed Him as Lord of your life? If you haven't today, we want to give you a chance to do that. We won't do anything to single you out. We won't do anything to embarrass you. But we want to give you a chance to respond. Nobody's looking but me. If you're here, say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it and say, I'm ready? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Say, man, I'm ready to receive Jesus Christ. If you haven't raised your hand and you want to raise it right now where I can see it. Say, that's me. I'm ready. Thank you. I see the hand. We're going to do this. We had those who raised their hands. So I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand, to repeat after me. And as Christians sitting around you, we're going to help you along as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family of God. Give me a hand. Come on. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. This is why we're here today, to see people making decisions. Now, it's just the beginning stages. Now, there's some other steps you need to do now as you make this journey. Before you leave today, we invite you to stop by our welcome center. We have a free Bible in there. Inside there, we got some information on next steps and things we want you to do. The most important thing is you got to be plugged into a church home if you don't have one, okay? If you have one, go back and tell them, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. If you don't have one, get plugged in. We'd love to love you here and support you here. As you stand this morning, how many people will say, Pastor, I really realize as you're teaching today that, man, this message was really for me. I've been limiting God because of past issues I've had with my dad. You were hitting me right. You hit me right where I live. Anybody want to raise your hand? Yeah, all across the building. First service is that same way. This is a big issue, guys. I know it is. I know it wasn't an easy sermon to hear if you've had those hurts in your life. And so thank you for listening today and receiving it. But what I'm here to tell you is this today, the Spirit of God sent me today to declare over your life that this is a new season for you. That you're going to experience the affirmation of the Father like you've never experienced before. Realizing he has canceled out the debts of your natural father. And he's put you into a spirit of adoption where you can walk affirmed love, mercy from our Heavenly Father. I'm going to invite you to raise your hands today. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as people are raising their hands across the congregation today, I speak right now. I come against the debts that have weighed us down. I come against disappointments, anger, hurt, rejection, whatever it is, Father. I come against that spirit in Jesus' name. And today, I release over them the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship, the spirit of daughtership. God, today you are releasing children of God to walk free today. God, there is a new day, a new season. Lord, no longer to be a slave. No longer to be a slave for those hurts. No longer to limit our Heavenly Father based on that relationship. But today is a new day. God, we're erasing that. And we're walking in new affirmation. We're walking in a new love that comes from you. God, you are so good. God, you are so good, and you're releasing in us healing today. Seeds of healing are being planted right now. It's a new day. As we raise our hands, we're going to sing this song. As we declare it out of our mouth, he's a good, good Father.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whisper of love in the dead of a night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to love.
Today I want to close with this prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, across this auditorium today, that God, you're releasing a spirit of affirmation that only you can give. May our hearts be open, Father, realizing just how much you really love us, how great your mercy really is, that we've been adopted into your kingdom, into your family, and now you look at us as children of God. That's who we are. Father, I've come today, Lord, thanking you that you are healing hearts this night. You're healing minds as well. Father, healing us, God, the places that have been so hurtful in the past, or the places we limited you, God, we say we're sorry. And we release you now, God, the flow to break that debt, to cancel it out, and now be in the flow that we can walk in this new spirit of adoption, the blessing from the Father. And we say together, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. You received this word today over your life. Before you leave today, I want to give you just a couple of things. First of all, remember this, that before you leave, I want you to sign up to serve. We need your help, okay? Sign up to serve for KidFest. If you have kids, sign them up as well. Pre-register, it helps us out. And make sure you help us out by stacking up the chairs in your row. That would be a big help to us before you leave. Just pick those up and stack them up real easy. God love you, and we bless you. Have a great afternoon, guys. Love you.